And then there were four.
Four!
Nah, dude, not that kind of four.
Four men, four minds, eight fists, and a heap of silliness. They've traded in the bedroom for a proper studio.
And as always, these gents will try and make sense of the world with their words. And if words fail them, there's always this.
Ben Edwards with a huge finish.
But let's hope it doesn't come down to that.
Thanks to the butcher shop, Kayleen. Please welcome your hosts of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, Scotty.
Yes, I died for 6 minutes. No, there wasn't a lie.
Masters.
Ben. In Soviet Russia, I punch you.
Edwards.
Steve.
Hey, baby, want to see my microphone payoffs? And Duke.
How good do my abs look?
Didier.
It is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to the butcher shop in Kayleen. Episode 20. 67 episodes in total for season 3. I'm Scotty Masters.
I'm the Gov.
I'm not the Duke, I'm Caden.
And I'm Mr. P.
Yes, and Caden, you've already won this week because you've shown up. You've shown up. You're here.
We are flying, ladies and gentlemen.
I believe Duke's flying right now too. In a different sense.
Yes, if you're a friend of Duke Didier's on Snapchat, you'll be loving whatever the hell's going on over there. He seems to be quite excited with life at the moment, doesn't he?
He does. He's had a pretty big week over there from what I can tell. He enjoyed himself. He did have a wedding, Benny, much to your disputed surprise.
He told you he was going over for a training camp.
Yeah,
camp.
Man, I'm going to go there, do a few weeks at Bali MMA, come back, we'll tee up a fight. You have not seen one training session.
Just yeah. I've seen a few training sessions.
Week-long bender.
Few
at least his weight will be down. Don't worry about the weight cut.
Oh, yeah. That's fantastic.
Sweating it out.
Oh, Caden, you've been busier than all the proverbials with all the grand finals. I saw like 9,000 stories yesterday.
You got to give us one. Well, busier than a
cat burying shit.
That'll do.
Baghdad bricklayer.
Yeah, that's the most obvious one.
Yeah, mate, it's been a big month. The last month, I raised a bat in the office for 100 stories in the month. So
wow, yeah,
that's good, eh? Finally doing some work. That's awesome.
It's about time. It's been 2 years. I've been pretty quiet.
That's awesome. Good. What about the guy that got me the youth worker job? I'm like, I've been there 2 weeks. I've organized two programs. It's like three phone calls. I've done. It's
next
not a
to
lot
nothing,
of work.
Yeah.
And he's talking to me on the phone. I'm trying to get more ideas. He's like, Benny, don't set the bar too high, mate. They're going to expect this every week. You just make sure you don't. Just cruise along. And then I'm like, mate, I'm cruising. It's easy as.
A courier bureaucrat.
And then we hang up and he texts me, like, Benny, just remember what I said. Don't set the bar too high. I'm like, mate, I don't want to sit there on YouTube all day.
Yeah. So Benny set up four programs today.
Yeah, I'm all over it.
Man, I had that happen.
I don't need any sex education. I can hook you up.
One of my ex-bosses.
Is your man, sex right? Payoffs? I can help you out.
Can I come to your class, Mr. Edwards?
Come.
I said come to, not come in.
Yes, right.
Class or us?
Stephen, you looked like you might have had a bit of a big weekend.
Started big, but then became quiet after that. Plenty of sport on Saturday night and Sunday, which was good, mate. Watch a UFC with our good friend Ben Edwards on Sunday. That was a good little outing in there in Civic. And then I watched some local junior soccer.
Let me guess.
That, which was good.
Bleachers?
Oh, yeah.
I went there on Friday night. It is sick.
It's a great spot.
I have to go. Awesome. All right.
No, listen. I reckon it's a really... I don't want to rag the place. It's a really well-decked-out place in terms of merchandise on the wall. It's got lots of signed sporting heroes, that sort of stuff. Great set of TVs. I thought it's really well set up like that, Benny. But in terms of its seating structure, the way the tables are, if you sort of are at a square table and you're on the wrong angle, in my case, I've got the UFC over. At about, anyone who knows your geometry quite well, about 205 degrees is where the screen was.
Steve's got whiplash.
It was not real positive for me trying to watch that. It was great to chat to Benny and Benny's missus and Costa and everyone else that was there. But in terms of watching the fight that I wanted to watch, not great. So I had to end up, what was I doing? I was ended up flat out, feet on the poof, laying. There's nothing wrong with that.
It's called an ottoman, Stephen. Yeah.
Is that changed now, has it?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. Feet were on the ottoman, back against a completely hard wooden wall. It wasn't great.
Wouldn't the Turks be upset?
Probably, but it's not an empire anymore, so who cares?
We're not that PC on here anyway. So, it was a good weekend otherwise, mate.
Very
thoroughly enjoyed.
Nice. Very nice. Plenty on the way for the show. We'll get stuck in a vast planet. Obviously, Serena Williams will come under a bit of fire, I would say. Another week in review for you, Benny.
Thank God.
They're coming from strength to strength.
So, and of course, you love the latest on UFC 228 and everything like that for us.
Everything Triple G and Canelo and UFC 228.
We got to preview that, Benny. We did talk about that last week.
The latest news in me is I'm extremely disheartened. Can't get a fight to save my life. So I'm going to take a few months off and get all big and strong and stuff.
Okay.
That's the plan.
Right.
And then no one will want to fight you even more.
Yeah, it's what are you doing? Man. You need to let yourself go.
Man. It's really disheartening, man.
Yeah. So surely someone out there that listens to this.
Well-known, like every time I put up a Facebook post, the same names get mentioned. Fight this guy, fight that guy. Every single one of them has said no. Their camp has said no, I'm too experienced. Even champions of organizations.
Got anything to say to him, Benny, on this podcast?
Give me the belt. If he's the champion, and he won't fight me, can I have the belt?
Yeah.
Just hand it over.
Well, if they won't fight you, they're ducking you. They're pussies.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, it's really disheartening.
You got anything you want to say, Benny, or like... Maybe some shout outs, some words. Hey,
call someone out. Let's go, man, baby.
That's what it's just for. Call
man. This is your podcast.
There's just not that many guys, man. And I'm in a bit of a. There might be a bit of a conflict of interest involved, which I'll tell you guys off air.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, in that case, okay, I'm going to play a song because I want to find out what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Let's get stuck into it this week. Probably one of the best bands of the last sort of two decades.
Absolutely.
Seen them live.
Have you?
Yeah, man. It was in my top three of best musical performances I've ever seen in my life. Muse, their new album Simulation Theory's out November 9. The first single is called The Dark Side. The album artwork looks like something, a flashback from the 80s, like a Stranger Things kind of looking text and video games and stuff. And yeah, just bloody awesome. And Matt Bellamy and the boys, for a three-piece, the sound they pump out live is sensational. So we'll kick off the podcast with that, and we're going to get stuck into the vast planet after this. All thanks to The Butcher Shop in Kayleen.
Oh,
God. It's time for the vast planet
of athletic endeavour.
And you are record by Usain Bolt.
Australia won the toss and they're going to bowl.
They scored in brilliant goals.
Nice hole in one on the PGA Tour.
Take it away, Stevie.
Stephen, take it away.
Thanks very much, Scotty. Where else to start in the world of sport right now than Flushing Meadow, Queens, New York City? What an absolute disgrace Serena Williams was when she blew up the umpire about three correct calls in the women's US Open final over the weekend.
What card didn't she pull?
Well, the racism one.
The mother?
She put mum. I'm a woman. She's sexist.
For her daughter.
Sexism.
Spammy.
Yeah.
How bad was that?
How about you set an example for her?
Mate, look, what I want to do is I want to talk about the disgrace that was the petulance demonstrated from someone in such a high position of power, first of all, before I go on and talk about what we should be talking about, which was a 20-year-old, half-Japanese, half-Haitian lady who stood up one of the best players in the world, who herself is having a fantastic season. For anyone who doesn't know about it, which I'd be surprised if you didn't out there, Serena Williams had a massive spat at the umpire during the second set. Yeah, he's nodding his head too, which is great because it means he's going to agree with me. He's going to spray or two. We've on this show, for example, have continuously sprayed people like Nick Kyrgios for doing stupid things when they go out there and say stuff. Anyone that does dumb stuff on this program, we always spray up. Mm. This is one of the most epic and misguided sprays you've ever seen forever.
This was John McEnroe level.
It was worse.
It was worse than McEnroe.
It was worse.
It was way worse than McEnroe,
just
mate.
He never pulled, you know, sexism, racism, anything like that. He just called people idiots. That's all he did.
You can't be serious.
Yeah. Surely you can't be serious.
So in what happened was, is effectively the three violations she received was, the first one was because she was apparently receiving coaching from her coach in the stands, later proven to be correct 150,000% by her coach, who came out and said, yes, I was coaching her. For anyone who doesn't know out there,
she wasn't watching, right?
Well, she didn't see it apparently, which is probably what heightened her emotion at the time.
Yeah.
But what she did not need to do was go off by telling the umpire what you saw was incorrect, because he's been completely vindicated by the Umpires Association, by his peers. The thing that's absolutely killed me is the amount of players that have gone and backed Serena in this situation without evidence-based arguments, just saying, yeah, what you did was right. People should be standing up for you. It's
and
an
that
absolute
is called
disgrace.
Outrage culture.
But that's right, which actually appeals to a lot of people. So from there, her coach, I'll just give you a little bit of side information here. In women's tennis, you're actually allowed to coach in tournaments other than a Grand Slam. So if you're on the WTA Tour in an ATP 500 tournament, you're actually allowed to receive coaching from your coach, hand gestures, all that sort of stuff. In Grand Slams, you are not. So that also almost makes it even worse to know that it's a Grand Slam. What is he doing in the first place?
Yeah.
This is a guy who's been censored in the past. Serena's
How can they not know in this day and age? There's a camera on you.
Everyone's watching. It's 2018, right, Benny? Everything you do, Steve Smith. Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, exactly. Bancroft. Everything you do is looked at. Everything you do is scrutinized. So for her to claim and say, I'm not a cheat, no worries. We understand you're not a cheat. But what the umpire does, has done and called you for, is completely within the laws of the game and completely correct. The smashing of the racket, that's a given. And then the third one, to then call the umpire a thief, to then say this is a sexist thing against the guy in Carlos Ramos, who's one of the most experienced umpires on the tour. He made a whopping $633 for umpiring one of the eight biggest tennis matches in the world on that weekend.
Jesus,
Serena Williams,
that's kickboxing money.
Serena. To put that in context, Serena Williams made $548 per second. So, yeah, a very
nice.
That was just for the spray.
Yeah, that's just for the spray. That's it. So, yeah, put it that way, put it into context. I thought it was completely misguided. It felt to me like Serena was trying to get on a high horse about something, almost like she's had a beaner bonnet for a while that she wanted to blow up. Completely picked the wrong forum to do it in a situation where she's proved to be completely wrong. And I can't believe the amount of people that have come out in her support. People like Andy Roddick, you know, come out with a tweet saying, oh, this is outrageous. How dare they treat her like this? The umpire was just doing his job.
I feel like a lot of those people, without knowing the details, are probably just friends or associates
of
her and just want to appear on her side, because if they say they're not on her side, she's going to come face to face.
She's a man looking woman.
Yeah.
I think that's a lot of the time when people all come out on someone's side, they probably just know him.
Yeah.
And they just don't want to have that awkward interaction with him.
Perhaps. But she's got history. You know, going back 10 years ago, she threatened to shove a tennis ball down a line judge's throat. She's also said previously to an umpire that you're not very nice inside and you're a terrible person and stuff like that. She's got history in saying things like this. And she got fined less this time around than she did, you know, for instances in the past. So this was an absolute disgrace. That is my big talking point of the week. What do you boys think? I really want to hear.
Well, I'm going to defend her. Because if I had that much money, I'd be an asshole too.
Let's just have a listen to the actual blow up.
So,
right?
first of all,
if you missed it, yeah.
First of all, let's go and have a listen to what actually happened.
Are you kidding me? As I said, you're a thief. Because you stole a point from me. But I'm not a cheater. But I told you to apologize to me. This is out. Excuse me, I need the referee.
Serena's asking for the referee.
Is that not absolutely ridiculous way?
Petulant.
Petulant. Yeah. It was self-indulgent. It was just absolutely ridiculous. She went on to basically say, you know, afterwards that, hey, this was almost all right. And the most pertinent question she was asked is, what would you change? To which she then went on this sexist rant massively about women's rights and equality, that sort of stuff, which we're all for. No worries. Got no issue
it's got nothing to do with that.
If there's one point I will make when it comes to Grand Slam tennis is women get paid the same amount of prize money. They play nowhere near the amount of hours or games as what the men do. No worries. I'm not sitting here arguing that. They get the same pay. Fantastic. There's obviously limitations in their game and traditional history, which has gone with the reasons behind why those decisions were made. So if there's such a big uproar about it, then why don't they play the full sets and then we can talk about equality and the reverse equity situation here when it comes to men playing more and receiving the same prize money. Have a listen to what you said in the presser afterwards.
We can never really go back, Serena, but if you could change one thing about what occurred, what would that be?
I don't know. You definitely can't go back in time, but I can't sit here and say I wouldn't say he's a thief because I thought he took a game from me. But I've seen other men call other umpires several things, and I'm here fighting for women's rights and for women's equality and for all kinds of stuff. And for me to say thief and for him to take a game, it made me feel like it was a sexist remark. I mean, like, how he's never took a game from a man because they said thief. For me, it blows my mind. But I'm going to continue to fight for women and to fight for us to have equal. Like, Courtney should be able to take her shirt off without getting a fine. Like, this is outrageous, you know? And I just feel like the fact that I have to go through this is just an example for the next person that has emotions and that want to express themselves and they want to be a strong woman, and they're going to be allowed to do that because of today. Maybe it didn't work out for me, but it's going to work out for the next person.
Thank you, everyone.
So there you go. That's where she's come out effectively after the match. And when asked, would you change something, like, oh, you know what, I probably wouldn't have said something like that. She's gone on to say, look, I don't know because of, you know, what the treatment that I was facing. Mm. And if you're going to come up with all these examples of what men have said, then why don't they actually, and why doesn't she cite it then and come out with some examples and have some evidence? No doubt I agree that what she said, that the men say the F word, the men swear, no doubt about it, they do. I'm sure some of the ladies have too in the past. But I can struggle to remember a time when they've said to an umpire, besides things like what Benny mentioned, McEnroe famous blow-ups, where said, you're an effing idiot, or you're like this to a referee. I don't remember anything like that ever taking place. So, boys, let's have a chat. What do we all think about this?
Whole thing's completely absurd. Like, there is a time and a place for that sort of argument about, you know, equality and that sort of thing. Mm. She's just completely missed the mark here, and she's taken away what should be everyone celebrating someone's achievement, and she's made it about her and her fight and her battle and all this stuff. And she just completely missed the mark. And for her to bring her daughter into it and all that sort of stuff.
That, like, was ludicrous.
Yeah, yeah,
was
take it away from the other lady.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You're carrying on about equality and the sisterhood and standing up for women's rights, and you're destroying the moment from this young champion who's 20 years old, who's just shown you up, It's horse shit is what it is.
Just struggled to cope with her being beaten, I think.
Yeah, I reckon that's just someone who's surrounded by yes people
for so long. Yeah.
For 20 plus years.
Yep.
And they're not used to being told no, or here's the rules, here's the limits, you can't cross this line.
Mm.
And she got told that and didn't like it, and that's how you react.
But the worst part is that the two people, in terms of the umpire, Carlos Ramos is you know, I read some fantastic pieces today. When you read some really well-written opinion writers coming out, they're going, oh, this is great, you know, great news for Carlos Ramos. Now he's going to have to spend his $633 on a new cap and a pair of sunnies to make sure no one recognises And then when it comes to Naomi Osaka, this is a young woman who moved to America when she was three, Haitian father, Japanese mother. She's excelled as a 20-year-old winning her first Grand Slam. Who in their right mind needs to come out and feel the need to apologise to a crowd who's booing her over winning her first Grand Slam? I thought that was such poor form from the American public as well. Yeah, they wanted Serena to win. Yeah. Same way they cheer Roger all the time as well when he's playing. But for them to do that to her, she's then come out, you've seen that 24 hours later, Caden, and said, oh, look, the reason I was cried is because I beat my hero. And it's almost like her PR department have now said to her, well, why don't you put something out to support Serena too? Well, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
There shouldn't be anything need to be said as well. This whole thing was a disgrace. Standing there in tears, she didn't even want to lift a trophy up. She sort of just put it up in her hand and you know, almost felt so embarrassed to be there. It was just disgraceful. It really was.
Could you imagine the uproar if this was Nick Kyrgios?
People would be
panning him. No one would be supporting him.
They wouldn't get any support.
What if it was a female ref and Nick pulled the sexist card?
Well, can you imagine a female referee the men's final this morning? So that happens quite regularly that you get ladies refereeing the men. And Novak had a point this morning where I don't know if he was taking, you know, a little bit of what happened in the Serena match, but he was blowing it in the third set. But I think he actually really goes, you know what, maybe this is not the right time. It was off about a line judge. He'd gone and he challenged the call where the line judge has called it out. The balls, more than half the balls hit the line.
Yep.
And he's about to go and spray up and he's going, nah, better not. I'll just leave this alone. So there is issues where you get the women, you know, umpire the men all the time. So, and I agree with you, Kate, if you were someone like that who had that brat background like what Nick Kyrgios does, you know, no one would be supporting him at all. You're a disgrace. And we give it to him over third round spats and that sort of stuff. I understand there's consistency issues. You had the umpire who went and almost gave Kyrgios a rev up to get him back in the match earlier in the tournament.
Yep.
But that's not Carlos Ramos's fault. He's done everything in his power to umpire the match in his power. And sadly, as we've talked about, what we should be talking about is the fact that Serena Williams at 37 has come back and made two major finals this year and done a fantastic job.
A kid?
After having her first child, after having her daughter that she so referenced famously, you know, going back 2 days ago, you know, that's what we should be talking about. What a great achievement for her is to come back, you know, bouncing back after having a child, which I will say, from my understanding, is quite a difficult thing to do. I don't, you know, have a partner with a child or anything like that. So, not a situation where I can.
Steve doesn't hang around for the birth. There's 37 little chaos around.
That's why Steve doesn't chuck rocks over the walls of orphanages because he doesn't want to hit his kids.
Tiptoeing around this one carefully, guys. But anyway, that and my thing as well, the question I wanted to ask as well about this as a talking point is at what stage do people who have such a high caliber of fame and power in terms of sports, music, whatever the case may be, need to understand where to overstep the line? Because this was just an absolute
joke. I think Ben hit the nail on the head. Like, she's been so successful. She's been, you know, at the top of the sport forever. For 20 years. She's loaded. So she'd be like Mayweather. Just has a bunch of yes people
around
them. You're
not in touch with reality.
Yeah, there's no way anyone that calls someone out like that, unless they're like their, you know, best friend that they've known forever, they're going to get shown the door. Hanging around ruining my vibe.
What sort of arrogance do you need to possess to say to an umpire, you'll never be on my court ever again? Righto. Okay, you're never going to be on a court that I'm playing on. Look, I've got the power to tell who's going to umpire my matches.
Well, obviously she doesn't. She's full of her own self-worth. But
that's right.
Yeah, she doesn't have that power. So it's a laughable statement from her. So
exactly right. Yeah. Look, I'm sure we can go on about this forever, boys. I'm glad that most of us agree that it was pretty bad. It was pretty petulant. It's brought tennis into the spotlight for all the wrong reasons when we should be celebrating a 20-year-old's brilliant achievement of winning her first Grand Slam. In an era of tennis where it is not mirroring up to the way the men's game is, where you've got three doyens who we've been so blessed to watch in what's the greatest era of tennis, in my opinion, we've ever seen. You've got lots of young
doyen, like
is that a
Richie Beno. Richie Benaud was like the Doyen of Australian cricket. It means like, the top dog, the legend.
The cream of the crop. In the women's game, you've got all sorts of younger players who've been coming up and winning Grand Slams and getting to the very top of the sport. Whereas in the men's, you've got these three guys in Novak Djokovic, Rafael Nadal and Roger Federer who are absolutely all-time greats. And that's what we should be talking about is Naomi Osaka and Novak Djokovic, who this morning in straight sets by beating Juan Martín Del Potro becomes equal third on the all-time Grand Slam list with his idol Pete Sampras with 14 Grand Slams. Nice. He's 6 off Roger Federer now and 3 off Rafael Nadal. He also became the man with the most prize money in tennis history, $120 million. So the amount of money is just absolutely insane. He staved off what was a really spirited performance from Juan Martín. Did you catch it, Hayden? Hayden?
Someone else in the room.
Hayden Kelmus. Yeah.
Steve is not the doyen of main records.
Of podcast commentary. Yeah. Did you see that one this morning?
I saw highlights of it. Yeah,
great performance from Novak.
Absolutely fantastic. And it seems like he gets better and better all the time. Every time you think, yeah, maybe someone's going to have him, he just cruises through, claims another title, and it's just business as usual.
Yeah, and it was sensational to watch. 95-minute second set, which went into a tiebreak. They had a 20-minute and 30-second game. I think it was at 3-all Novak serving to actually hold serve. Sensational tennis to watch. One of the best defenders in the game, one of the best returners of serve you've ever seen in Novak Djokovic. As good as Andre Agassi on the return, and he's as good a defender as Rafael Nadal. Sensational for him. He's back after a situation where it looked like he wasn't going to be in the mix, for that sort of, not necessarily the GOAT. I still think that's sort of your Federer and Nadal territory.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, in terms of cementing his place as one of the best three we've seen, no doubt in this era and potentially all time, it was a fantastic victory. So congratulations to Novak this morning. Let's move on, boys, to the NRL first weekend of finals, which in my opinion was absolutely sensational.
Belters.
Belters, weren't they? Four cracking games. At the start of the round, I would have said that the game most likely to not be an upset was Brisbane and St. George, and it was the mighty Saints that turned it up with a 30-point thumping
they're
of the Broncos.
They're up shit streak next week without Gareth Widdop, though.
Yeah,
they're in trouble. Yeah. They'll be out next week. Yeah.
So what do we think about that, boys? Great performance from the Saints. They blitzed them in the first half. Tarek Sims with an unlikely first-half hat-trick. And
what did they feed him? Yeah, he was on fire.
Hey, we're going to steamroll straight through his brother as well, which was probably pretty good to see. He didn't turn around and spray him, just had a big celebration to the crowd. But even second half as well, when they were down to no one on the bench, with Widdop's injury,
James Graham,
but knocked out cold. They still performed admirably, and they'll be half a chance if they have their players fit next week against South Sydney.
Yeah, from what I've heard, and correct me if you've seen anything today, Hayden, but Widdop's gone, isn't he?
Yeah, he's basically done and dusted.
And DeBellin's gone.
The Dragons they're pushing shit up a hill now.
Yeah.
But,
geez,
it was good to see him knock Brisbane over. Nice for Ben Hunt as well.
Right. Yep. Well, Ben Hunt's been losing Brisbane finals on that ground for a long time now, hasn't he?
Finally wins a final on some court. It's not even for the Broncos. So the Melbourne-South Sydney game on Friday night was an absolute cracker as well.
Bunch of dirty grubs Melbourne
some,
are.
Some dubious refereeing as well when it comes to Melbourne as well in their play the ball, the amount that they slowed down South. South are
the chicken wing.
Yeah. All the types of tackles that they have. But South Sydney as well have the fastest play the ball of the year this year. That's how quick they are around the rucks. One of their best weapons in Cook coming out of halves is fantastic for them, but really nullified by Melbourne and probably not punished as well as it should have been in that game. So it sets up for a pretty interesting second week of the finals. The Roosters have the break along with the Melbourne Storm. But it sets up South Sydney and St. George, one of the great rivalries of all time. And then you've got
South would walk through them.
Yeah, surely.
You would.
Surely.
Yeah.
You boys are picking South?
They'll have
enough?
Yeah.
You know rugby league, Benny.
Come on, Benny. You know enough about that, don't you?
If the Dragons.
There
he goes again.
Now, I know you're going to agree with this point. If the Dragons had Widdop, they'd be half a shot.
100%.
Even with the beaver hair.
What about the other game, boys? You've got the Sharks and the Panthers. I mean, there's some talk that James Maloney's in some real trouble with his neck going into this game as well. The Sharks.
If he's out, the Sharks are laydowns, but I think the Sharks will get over him.
I think the Sharks will. Penrith are extremely unpredictable, and I think on their day, they can beat almost anyone in the comp, but I think the Sharks are just a little bit too polished, a little bit too classy.
No Wade Graham as well with the Sharks. Looks like he's done an ACL. He's out.
He's been
time.
Out for a fair chunk of the year though too. So, you know, he missed that whole Origin period. He was out. He wasn't even considered for New South Wales because he was out for about 10 weeks, I think. So, yeah, I don't think him being out's that big a deal
gonna
for
make
the Sharks.
A big difference, yeah. No. But in terms of the actual spectacles, I thought they were great games of rugby league over the weekend. They're a little bit better than the AFL, which we'll move on now. They had the first week of finals over the weekend. Richmond were pretty clear and comfortable winners in the first final against the Hawthorn Hawks last Thursday night. You had Melbourne with a great performance. It was their first final for a long time, I think, Kane.
12 years,
and they did a number on the Cats, who were never really in the game, which was interesting. GWS, the surprise of the weekend, smashing the Sydney Swans at the SCG, and then that finished off on Saturday night with the West Coast Eagles beating Collingwood in
what
a cracker.
A shit
as well.
Show that game was. Not a ripper game, but two clubs I just detest. Like, rubbish.
Yeah. Who do you support in the AFL, mate?
Fremantle, mate.
The Dockers?
Yeah.
Talk to us about that. What's the backstory?
Basically, going out there as youngsters, we used to have family over there and stuff. So I just sort of loved the place when I was a little kid and jumped on board. And
when they had a
unfortunately,
team,
jumped on board the wrong team in Perth.
Yeah.
So West Coast are now going to walk into a grand final again, and Fremantle already packing their bags.
Do you think that West Coast are good enough though, depending who they come up against, because they won't get Collingwood again on the other side. So they'll end up with, who are they going to end up
probably
with?
Probably the Hawks.
Yeah. So based on that, or even if it's the Demons, are they assuming to get past
100%.
One of those teams over there? He's all over
quality repartee from Edwards.
Jumping in with all the big ideas.
Well, I think Melbourne play a style of footy that no other team really plays. And they're on their day, they can give everyone a shake. Like the last month or so, they've been pretty impressive. And I think West Coast being over there, they're a really good shot to get into another grand final, unfortunately. But on the whole, I don't think anyone beats Richmond.
Richmond, yeah, absolutely. Mm. I mean, they were so impressive.
Except their supporters who beat the shit out of people in the streets in Melbourne.
Yeah, exactly. Can I ask a question in how this works? You might know a little bit more about this than me in the media, but I'm solely speaking off examples that I've seen and screenshotted in my phone. So if that was after an A-League game, they'd be saying that hooligans are out there bashing people.
Yeah,
why 100%. Is it they don't back that up now and say hooligans are bashing people after AFL as opposed to just three men and a Richmond supporter?
A lot of Melbourne media is very pro AFL, obviously.
Yeah.
And you see it all the time. People just go hard on soccer and everything they're doing. If there's a fight at a league game or an AFL game or whatever it is, then it doesn't get the same beat up. And I don't know why, because everything should be treated on its merits, but that's just the way it is in some places. And it's extremely frustrating because...
Because otherwise, Eddie McGuire has you put in a body bag at the bottom of the Yarra, allegedly.
Yes, well, he's a very powerful man when it comes to the amount of support he has for AFL. But you can talk about this as well a little bit, and in the amount of tweets that you do in terms of your articles and stuff like that. But the Twitter sphere is a place where you see so much of it go on all the time, where people are actually calling it out and you never get a reaction. But as soon as it goes, you know, flip side around it, I'll always do my bit to defend soccer. I understand that AFL, that NRL, the big sports, I've always grown up supporting, you know, the traditional Australian games, which is fine by me, but it does not get the respect it deserves in many aspects. But that especially absolutely grinds my gears, because I saw that example after the game. I've seen examples where you get fans at AFL games, domestic violence examples, where, you know, some guy will bash his missus or something like that, and then an unfortunate unsavory incident at the game. Why don't you call it out for what it is? That some guy's at a game bashing his wife, that actually does not happen at the A-League.
Yeah.
And I can attest for that because I've been there and worked, you know, at many A-League grounds and announced and done that sort of stuff, whereas unfortunately it does happen and have history at those type of grounds. So why, I understand what you're saying, but, you know, surely someone's got to come out and call this out for what it is.
Yeah, you'd think so. There's a lot of journos in Melbourne and that sort of thing that people are at them all the time, like, why aren't you calling this out? This happened at the AFL game, and you just get nothing. The silence is deafening from them. But then those same people, if something happens at an A-League game, they blow up. It's incredibly frustrating because it looks bad on media as a whole, and
fake
like people,
news.
And people sort of throw you all into one category and you're like, oh, you grubs. And I'm like, oh, I thought I was an all right bloke, but yeah, obviously not.
So let's see what happens next week in the AFL. GWS against Collingwood should be a good game.
Yeah, the Giants.
You up for the Giants? Yeah, they should be half a chance down there in Melbourne, I reckon.
If Josh Kelly gets up, they'll give him a real shake.
Yeah, and that'd be, I mean, it'd be a disappointing season for Collingwood to end it if they does end on two losses. And then the other game, you got the Demons up against the Hawks. And I don't see why Melbourne can't
the
win
Demons.
You agree with that, Benny?
Yep.
I was waiting for 100%.
Go the Bush Rangers.
But he's gone there, yep, there, which is good. Couple of things just to finish off in the vast planet, boys. An absolutely spectacular incident in the MotoGP2 last night. I'm not sure if anyone's seen this.
With the handbrake.
This was absolutely ridiculous. You had Romano Fenati, who had been involved in an incident with Stefano Manzi, and this was in the lap prior to the incident. They've clipped each other coming, going around a corner, clipped each other. They've both gone onto the gravel. I'm pretty sure that it was Manzi's fault because he was the one who got docked six places after all of that.
They didn't come off the bike.
So they're on the gravel after that. Then what's happened is they've moved back on the course. They've ended up down the main straight going 225 kilometres an hour. Romano Fenati has reached over to Manzi's bike, put his hand on the brake and clipped the brake while they're going at 225 clicks an hour. The other guys, he only did it momentarily.
Oh, yeah, but any longer, brakes are insane.
Those brakes are insane. Like you tap them like a guitar string. And anyway, all you've seen is Manzi's front wheel lock up. He's gone left, managed to just keep it on, stayed straight. And this is from a guitar flick as well. So I can imagine if he actually gave it a decent, there'd be a death, there'd be all sorts. He'd be up.
Yeah, if he'd have locked the front brakes.
He'd be up for attempted murder if that one happened. Now, he's only been given a two-race ban. So I'm assuming that's going to be reviewed and there's going to be something that's going to come of that because this was just unreal.
Yeah, it's poor form.
You watch the actual video of it, Benny. If you got a seg, mate, watch it. It is just insane.
Yeah.
In the main race, you had Andrea Dovizioso winning the race in San Marino. He was the big winner of the day. He took over the pole sitter in Jorge Lorenzo. And from there, basically, the man who comes out of this is Marquez. Marquez moves ahead with a 67-point lead at the top of the MotoGP standings over Dovizioso with six races left in the GP. And just quickly, boys, the National Football League in America kicked off over the weekend. Fantastic round of games. Football is back, baby, in the US. The first of a 16-round regular season. There was a fantastic performance today. I don't know if you saw this, Caden, but Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, he came off early in the game with what was a suspected ACL or serious knee injury, only to come back in the second half, overturn a 20-point deficit, the biggest of his career, and help the Packers to a 24-23 win over the Chicago Bears. Now, he's recently signed, what is it, Caden? That's like a four.
Is he an Aussie?
No, he's American. But he's just signed like a 4-year, $150 million or $200 million deal. Like, just crazy. So great performance from him. In some other notable results, the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles beat Atlanta 18-12. The much fancy Saints were pumped 48. Well, not pumped. They lost by 8, but they conceded 48 points at home to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And the Redskins, probably the most impressive performance of the weekend, Alex Smith on fire, 24-6 over the Arizona Cardinals.
Nice.
What about the women's netball, man?
Yeah, it's coming back in the next few weeks.
I was going to say, I hope he's left. So I hope you've got something to talk about, Caden, because that is officially now the longest vast planet we've ever. It's the biggest vast planet we've ever had.
The fastest.
The fastest ever. I'll have
the vast universe.
Yeah, I'll have to cut back from now.
That was impressive.
But anyway, we had to spray up Serena though after that. So great chat, boys.
Queen Vienna is famous for the Campeses, George Lazenby, Mark Webber, and it's where this podcast is recorded. Well, 3 out of 4 ain't bad, I guess. It's the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Benny, Steve, and Duke.
Well, without the butcher shop at Kayleen, we wouldn't be here every week. Now, the only person in this room that hasn't eaten meat from the butcher shop is Hayden from the Canberra Times. Hayden Kelmers from the Canberra Times, mate. So we need to remedy that. Next time you're coming in to fill in for Duke on a bender, I'll make sure there's a T-bone here for you, right?
Or just any other non-appearance.
I love the fact that last week when we're all sitting here talking about the butcher shop, maybe Duke's at the butcher shop. When I went in West on the Friday, the boys all went, Duke didn't come here, man. Like, he wasn't here at all.
Away,
he wasn't there at all. But no, we need to get Kane to test it out because it is Canberra's best meat. And, well, I reckon in about 4 weeks they're going to be opening up the Christmas order books. They did a record amount of their Christmas hams last year, so they're coming up with the turkeys and the tadukins. They do tadukins there at the butcher shop, which is pretty bloody impressive.
Well, I actually tried another thing new week. We got the chicken filo pastry there.
Oh, yeah, they're good, aren't they? Which one did you get, the phenomenal. Ham and cheese or the...
I tried two pesto? Different ones. There was one just straight up chicken and garlic.
Yeah, yeah, like a
and
Kiev,
there was
yep.
one other one. And they were awesome, but took Carly there, pointed at a certain thing,
yeah.
and I go, "What's that look like?" And she goes, "Oh, it looks like a big ravioli." So screw you two guys.
I was talking to the boys at the butcher shop the other day. I went, "Edwards calls this on the podcast a big pillow, like big ravioli." They all went, "What an idiot."
Yeah. Not, to me, they're like, yeah, 100% there. It's ravioli.
Dude, how many people have you knocked out in your 63 fights?
50.
42.
40, yeah. Oh, is that That's all? Why they agree with you. That's why they're agreeing with you.
Yes, no. Serena.
What is... there are all those guys 100%. Are sexist. All those white guys are sexist and racist towards me.
Just go to the butcher shop. There's no sexism. There's no racism. There's just fantastic just meat. Canberra's meat. Best, where the quality is remembered long after the price is forgotten.
White meat. Dark meat, elk quarter of meat.
All the meat. Ravioli. I love all the colours of meat.
Ravioli.
Or if you're Duke right now.
Oh, sorry, I just had to cut that out.
This podcast is recorded in a studio that's surrounded by three pubs. What could possibly go wrong?
Oh, my heart just stopped.
Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
All right, this is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. I'm Ben with Scotty, Stephen, Hayden Kelmers from the Canberra Times, and now it's time for my favourite Scotty segment ever. It's the Week in Review. It's the third one in a row. I'm pretty pumped up. It's been a huge week.
It has been.
How good are these, Cades? These are good.
First up this week, there's lots of studies this week. A study being done to test if feeding seaweed to cattle reduces their methane emissions because cows fart up a storm, as we all know. Of course, the first thing I thought about is milk that smells like low tide. And seriously, the farmers are struggling to get 5 cents out of Norco now.
Yeah,
now we're going to get milk that smells like off sushi. No, not at all. A new medical report published last week says an unhealthy lifestyle is putting 4 out of 5 adults at risk for early death. And if you've been watching Duke Didier's snap stories from Bali, let's just say he's prepaid for his funeral. when you're not here, you go under the bus. A kindergarten principal in China, did you see this one, was fired after children were welcomed back to class with a display of pole dancing. Kindergarten principal put on a pole dancing display for the kiddies as they came back to school. For kindergarten kids.
I know due to experiences in the past.
Yes.
Some of the names of those moves are quite suggestive.
Yes, that's right. And I don't know, may I be the first to whip out the old saying, you know, we never had things like that when I was at school. Why didn't that happen?
I was at school a lot more recently than you, and I completely agree.
Yeah, in the principal's defense, though, she was explaining to the kids what dollar bills could be used for.
How old were they?
Kindergarten.
Four. Did you miss that three times?
Yeah.
Six.
Yeah. 10 years old.
I know.
Four. 10 years old.
Six. Wow. Six years old. A Scottish woman is suing a doctor, says the doctor in question removed a tear duct instead of a brain tumour, thus making her the perfect person to spill milk.
Is that real?
Yeah, bloody hell. All the things in the Week in Review are real.
That's nuts.
Yeah, I know. Some upscale hotels in Colorado where pot is legal are now offering cannabis-infused room service items to maximize relaxation for their guests. And I would imagine to boost sales of their $40 room service pizzas.
That's awesome.
Seriously, yeah, really? Go to Colorado. JCPenney pulled a sexist T-shirt from their shelves this week after receiving hundreds of complaints. Now, the T-shirt for girls read, "I'm too pretty to do homework, so my brother does it for me." The T-shirt is made by Chinese kids whose slogan on their shirt says, "I'm too busy making tennis shoes, so my little brother makes these T-shirts." And finally this week, according to a new study published in the Journal of Science and Agriculture, beer may help make bones harder. Funny, it has the opposite effect on me.
Me too. Hashtag me too.
He's put more people to sleep in the ring than you've had hot dinners. He's faced the biggest and meanest dudes on the planet.
Another dramatic finish here!
So now it's time for Ben's Bifforama.
That's insane in the membrane.
Bifforama, Benny, take it away.
Oh, this could be ugly because I've scribbled the head. Look at that. It's a disaster. It looks like a kid's tried to draw a map of the city. It's terrible.
It's going to say a doctor's prescription.
But yeah. What have we got here? The UFC 228 roundup, the main event, the welterweight title, Darren Till and Tyron Woodley. Mate, Darren Till had so much hype going into the fight. I'm not going to say the hype train's derailed, but he definitely... mate, he didn't land one significant strike in the two-round fight. He got submitted with a dast choke, which I showed Payos at the pub.
Let's talk about that quickly, eh?
Didn't mess up Payos's hair. Didn't do it properly. And if any respectable grappler was there, they would have laughed at me. But
just like three neck discs. But apart from that, his Betty hair was intact for afterwards. Perfect.
Yeah, mate. There's total destruction. It's Tyron Woodley's first fight in, I think it was 13 or 15 months, he said. And his fight before that was another 18 months. So he hasn't been active. But he's just one of those guys, same as Dominic Cruz, doesn't believe in ring rust, came back, performed awesomely. Yep. And, mate, he actually dropped Till with a counter right hand.
That was a great shot.
It was a beautiful shot. It really was, man. So he's looking for a quick turnaround by the end of the year. So hopefully hopefully he can tee up something big. Because Tyron's is well and truly established. He is the best welterweight on the world right now and has been for a couple of years.
Nice.
I didn't know, he's been training at Wildcard with Freddie Roach, and Freddie Roach is one of his trainers and stuff. Mm-hmm, so his hands, he's always just been like a super explosive guy with mad wrestling, but his hands are really coming along well and his timing is insane. If you get timing and you're super explosive, man, that's a recipe for some knockouts. Before the show even started, Montano was stripped of her inaugural featherweight women's championship belt. She was the Ultimate Fighter 26 champion. That's when she got given the belt. It's the third time this fight has been cancelled. Her fight with Valentina Shevchenko was pulled 2 days before. She had kidney issues, and Shevchenko called it way in advance at the open workout. She said she's never going to make weight. She's way too big. And
you called this too, Benny. You said that.
Yeah, you did at the time.
You said there were some issues with it in terms of that weight getting down and it being like a full, like the dehydration and the effect would just kill her too much.
Yeah, right? And I reckon she's a bit of self-sabotage involved. Obviously, the third fight she's pulled out of with Valentina. I mean, Valentina, she is an absolute gun. I'm a huge fan of her as a person and a fighter. She is just a warrior, man. She was the minus 1400 favorite for the fight.
That is short.
And that, mate, that would have been an absolute slaughter. So hopefully they can tee up another opponent for her, because Valentina, she really deserves a
strap. And what do you make of that, Benny, as you were telling me yesterday? I mean, this is the third time that's happened to her in recent memory. I mean, for a fighter, how do you pick yourself up?
It's his third time that fight.
That fight, yeah. Specifically, exactly. Yeah. So how do you pick yourself up from that situation to come back and go, you know what, I'm going to go around again? Because she was in the crowd there in the front row.
She'll be all right, because UFC is going to say, you're going to get a shot at the title. We just got to find you someone to fight for it. So that, I reckon she'll have no problem turning it around.
What about the lack of, like, here's a question that you can tell me. What about the match fee? Does she get a receiver fee for that?
It's different for every fight. I know Tony Ferguson was supposed to fight Khabib, and Khabib had to pull out. This is like going back a year or something, and Tony didn't get any money
at all.
And they UFC actually offered him a fight against another opponent for less money. It's a case by case basis on if you make any money or not, if your opponent pulls out. The UFC might try and not pay you a cent, but guarantee you a big fight or whatever in the next 2 or 3 months. So it's a really case by case situation.
It's a tricky one, if you ask me. Yeah.
Yeah. So now moving on to some more women. Jessica Andrade pretty much got the consensus best one punch KO in women's MMA history against the number 4 contender, Karolina Kowalkiewicz. I've always compared this girl to a female version of Wanderlei Silva. They're built the same, they fight the same, and she just starts out of the gate super fast, and she was all over Karolina Kowalkiewicz. We had a little bit of discussion at the end of the fight, which was the first round.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a good stoppage. Now, she got dropped and she was cross-eyed. She wasn't out cold. She was bringing her legs up to get to guard, but she didn't complain about the stoppage. Now, my argument was if she got dropped like that straight away and hadn't received any damage before it, I think it would have been a quick stoppage.
Yes, yes.
But she got buzzed about 37 times before she got dropped.
Yep.
And I reckon it was a good stoppage. I haven't heard any negative comments comments about the stoppage. No, but when it immediately happened,
we did have a good discussion about this because Costa and I were of the opinion where you got to let at least.
Right, you can't bring Costa into this. If they're alive, it's an early stoppage for Costa.
That's correct. Oh, Costa's one of the greatest mixed martial artists going around this town. Put it that way. Now I used to train with him as a kid. He used to build.
Costa's the man.
So he's the best. So anyway, we had this discussion, Benny and I, about the fact that I thought maybe should have at least allowed Andrade to mount and maybe throw one, but the ref did get in there early, and as you explained to me afterwards, Benny, I do tend to agree after you. She got zapped hard, and Draj came out and was so quick off the mark. She gave her absolutely no room to work with, and I think Kovalkiewicz was just completely shocked by that. Yeah. Did you agree that, Benny? She didn't know what to do. She's just like, okay,
backed in the corner.
I've got no time to get into it.
But that's the thing. If you get caught early, that can be it for you. You just get super gun shy.
Yeah.
You're like, my brain's already buzzed. You can get like buzzed in a fight, and you don't recover for a week.
Yeah.
You just get real gun shy and you get scared to open up and attack again. So I reckon that's exactly what happened. She caught her early. And sometimes fighters, like, she's so relaxed, man. You see her on the cage when she's being announced. She's there, she just winks, and she's... Yeah. And that's great. But Gegard Mousasi is a very similar guy, and he's had troubles with fast starters before. And I reckon she's just got to turn the revs up a little bit.
And, pull the choke out.
Just come out a little bit faster. Some people, because of the tires, notoriously like, oh, fight's a marathon. No, that's it's bloody not a marathon. It's a fight.
Tell me about tell all the listeners what you were telling me yesterday about what this means as well now for that potential title showdown between Andrade and Rose. I mean, that's set up beautifully. But tell us about what you're talking about.
Now there's
tactics-wise now. It's going to be great.
That was pretty much for the number one contender spot. She's the number two. She destroyed the number four. She's going to get a shot at the champion, Rose Namajunas. Now, obviously, she jumps out of the gates quick. The secret's out of the bag now. So obviously, Rose is going to be prepared for that. So it may not work. Rose is a very smart fighter. She is the champ. She's beat a Joanna Jędrzejczyk twice, who actually beat Jessica Andrade. But since Jessica Andrade lost to Jędrzejczyk, how good's my pronunciation? She has been on a tear.
Yes.
So I don't know. I don't think it's really not going to be a first round stoppage out of the gate for Andrade. I can't see
next
that
time around,
with
yeah.
the next one with Namajunas, but that is going to be a cracking fight. I just want to mention there was a massive knockout on the undercard. There's an epic photo, which I'll send you to put up on the Facebook page. Maybe you can use that as the post. Like,
yep.
Awesome head kick knockout. Jeff Neal over Frank Camacho, just shin to chin.
Yeah.
Unconscious in the air. It was absolutely
faces on the other side of the arena.
Oh, it was absolutely brutal.
And like just before that had happened, he'd been buzzed and he stood there and growled at him.
Yeah.
He's like,
yeah. And sometimes that can be the worst thing. You're already semi hurt.
Yeah.
And then you get knocked out. That's just straight up brain trauma, man.
Yeah.
There was two new submissions, or the same submission done twice in the same night. These crazy knee bars from having someone's back. Like, I've never seen it before. Aljamain Sterling, who trains with BJJ Black Belt, Matt Serra, and Zabit Magomed Sharapov.
Yeah.
He pulled it off as well, but the Aljo one, he actually blew the guy's knee out.
Yeah,
like, he took like three of the four ligaments out in his knee because he grabbed his ankle from the guy's back and his knee just bent got 90 degrees extension. Sideways.
Ugh.
So that could be a career ender for him, unfortunately. Also, Diego Sanchez, the Ultimate Fighter 1 middleweight champion. He's now 36 years old. He won his 28th UFC fight, 39th fight in total. He's been in the Fight of the Year three times. He's had three nicknames in 16 years. He's been the Nightmare, he's been the Dream, and now he's El Corazon de Leon, which means Heart of a Lion. He's still going. From 2005, Ultimate Fighter 1, he's unbelievable. He's going to have brain damage for sure, but he's still going. What a legend. Like, you got to give it to the guy. Ultimate Fighter 1, still competing at the highest level. Yeah. What a legend. And boxing news now, Triple G and Canelo. It's a week out. They've both made the weight, the proper weight. They're both exactly the same weight, actually, surprisingly. Canelo was a little bit heavier last time, so which tells me he's really been concentrating more on his cardio. They're both 163 pounds. Triple G is the slight favorite, which I reckon's right. The general consensus was for the last fight, the Triple G won 8-4.
Yeah, quickly, I've got to interrupt you on this. I had a big argument with a good friend of mine yesterday when I went after I left you and went and watched that local soccer. This guy's a big boxing fan, loves that his brother's a boxer. He reckons Canelo won that last fight comfortably. Now, can you please correct
no,
it?
There's no
live
way.
On this podcast, delayed to all our listeners, that you don't agree with that. I not said, mate, Canelo winning that easily on points is a disgrace. Not a chance.
No, no. Yeah, no. Triple G he definitely won that. I mean, I'm a Muppet when it comes to this stuff, but even as a layman, you went, he did enough. And yeah, he got rocked a couple of times early, but he's like the T-1000 in Terminator. He just keeps bloody coming
forward.
They
both landed some great shots, man. There's no doubt. I love Canelo, man. He's one of the best. I reckon the best way to describe him is an aggressive counterpuncher. He doesn't just wait all the time. He throws combos, but he is always ready with that counter shot, and he's awesome. But I thought it was pretty clear 8-4 Triple G. And excellent. That's what 90%.
There you go, Carrick. Enjoy, mate.
90%. That's what 90% of all the media thought as well. And that was the initial reaction. And even people that have watched it again say it's 7-5 at best.
Yeah.
For Triple G.
Where's his fight won and lost, Spinny? Number two, noting that Canelo will understand that he's going to
be... Well, he's off the pin, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah,
at the moment.
That's where it's lost.
Yeah, but also as well, though, this is you're talking about that UFC situation. You're going to have GGG, a guy who just comes forward at you. Mm. How does Canelo counter that? You look at how he came back against Amir Khan in a similar situation. Was probably losing a few rounds in that fight. Mm. Sat back and then just went, whooshka.
Yeah.
I reckon the biggest difference going into this fight is going to be Canelo's fitness. Yeah. His physique looks different. You can say like steroid jokes and stuff, but if I gas out in a fight and I'm rematching that guy, I'm going to be concentrating a lot more, especially if he's a power puncher. For the first fight, I really think he was trying to concentrate on his power to try and get his power closer to Triple G's.
Yep.
Now he's realized, look, I'm probably not going to knock the guy out. He's got an iron chin.
Yep.
I'm really going to, I gassed the last four rounds. I'm really going to concentrate on my fitness. He looks slimmer and I reckon he's just going to come in super fit, fitter than last time. And I reckon that's the key. It's up to Canelo. If his fitness can hang with the constant pressure of Triple G walking you down, a guy with an iron chin, the hardest punching middleweight of all time, that's where the fight's going to be won or lost. Now, onto the money side of things, the first fight was a 70-30 split. Triple G was looking for a 50-50 split. They've settled on a 60-40 split.
To Canelo,
but Canelo is the bigger draw.
Canelo's a big star. No
he doubt. Puts more eyes on the TV than Triple G by a mile.
Yep.
The first fight, Canelo got $5 million disclosed and $3 million went to Triple G, but they made more. So much money in the pay-per-view. The second fight, they're getting $15 million flat fee for both. So he got 50-50 there, but it's going to be 60-40 in the pay-per-view split, which is going to be to Canelo. So if they, surprisingly enough, they both have the same amount of KOs, which I thought was pretty cool. But Triple G's only had 38 fights with 34 KOs. Canelo has 52 fights with 34 KOs. So Triple G favorite, just. So I reckon all the like Oscar De La Hoya and that, obviously Canelo's promoter, they're going to be praying to Canelo to win. Because if he wins, mate... He's going to be the biggest star in boxing. He's going to be up there with Anthony Joshua, but the Triple G flatlines him. It's obviously going to derail things a little bit because Triple G is coming to the end of it, and Canelo's got another 7, 8, 9 years at the top.
You reckon
hopefully.
That's how long he's got to go, Benny? Already? How old is Canelo now?
He started 27, at like 16,
mate,
didn't he?
In Mexico, they turn you pro at 14. He's been, and he hasn't taken too much damage. Like he's slick as. I really love watching them both.
Yeah,
fight.
You do, right?
Both such massively. He's awesome, man. Even how he. And he rolls with punches and
he's still
stuff.
Only,
that
he's still
Mexican
only one
roll.
Loss, isn't he, Canelo?
He is 49-1-2. Loss and two draws.
And he's two draws, that's right,
I reckon. But Triple G is obviously coming to the end. Canelo's got years left in him, so...
Yep.
Watch out for Oscar in the front row.
I think it's also good. I feel this is a good thing for Triple G, though. He gets his shot at making some decent money. For a guy who perhaps because of where he's come from, the lack of notoriety he had moving back to when he was sort of 30, 31-0, this is a guy who's just knocking out everybody.
Well, that's why he moved to
way.
America.
Yeah.
That's right. People didn't know who the hell he was.
But that, I mean, it's the same thing that sort of Deontay Wilder's faced as well. Is you're a guy who knocks out people for fun, but no one cares because of the lack of hype train and the marketing behind you. So I think it's good that fact. If this is Golovkin's last fight, at least he goes out, you know, with some decent money after being one of the best. Well, if not
Man,
the
I
best
reckon if
ever.
Triple G wins this, I reckon he's going to hang around for a little bit longer. I say he's coming to the end, but his prime's most likely past him. But he beat Canelo in the last fight. He's obviously, I reckon he's about 90% of what he was, which is still a formidable opponent.
Yeah.
But you just got to see, it's been a year. Has Canelo come up and has Triple G slipped, you know?
Mm. Let's get set on Sunday, mate. 100%. Looking forward to watching. It's going to be a good 100%. Afternoon.
That's a wrap. Actually, no, it's not.
No, it's not.
DJ.
Yes. Now, you can have a crack, Steve. Surname. Do it again.
Tomopayo.
Tomopayo.
Yep, that's the Caden. Apparently, Hayden everyone was impressed. Tomopole.
Yeah, thank you.
Everyone was impressed. All these cousins. Look at Hayden. Hayden's
Hayden's a full Palunga.
I grew up with Spiro and Donnie Black, mate. Don't worry about that. I had all those pronunciations set as a kid.
Deej fought down at
he's on Hex.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. And I saw it. Did you see it at all?
I didn't. I missed it. By
you
way.
Missed it.
I saw the next fight.
Yeah, yeah. I saw.
I clicked on during the ad break.
Yeah,
just after it.
His opponent, Cam Dempsey, I think DJ said to us, was a purple belt in BJJ. And he used that. He got DJ onto his back quite a few times. And he didn't get submitted. And the one time that DJ did land a shot, he knocked Dempsey down. But I think he had a bit of a rush to the head and he went in to finish him off. And Cam Dempsey had enough wherewithal to flip him back onto his back, and that's how they finished the fight.
Dempsey did spend a lot of time on top of him, Scotty. Like, you're talking, I'm going to say anywhere between 8 and 9 minutes of the fight. Like, he was on top of him for a long time.
And I just got to say, the weirdest moves I've ever seen. Cam Dempsey had weird moves.
Yeah. I'm not commenting.
I've got an impressive set too, but he's more weird looking. I don't know what was going on with those things, but yeah. But he won, and DJ, they reckon he's going to hopefully be on the next Hex show as well, so they want to get him back in there. He had a little bit of claret coming out of the nose, but he didn't cop too much damage.
Nah,
that's
good, mate, that he wants a quick turn. I'm not sure what belt Brandon Sassoli was when I fought him, but he was definitely a lot more experienced on the ground than I was. And it's extremely uncomfortable feeling to be underneath someone like that in your first fight.
Yeah.
So I've no doubt DJ will come back, mate. He's a champion bloke. And he's responded to the fight well. He's back training again straight away. Yeah. So he'll be back with a vengeance.
Indeed. So well done, Deej. Yeah, indeed. The warmonger. Love it.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to the Butcher Shop, Kayleen.
I don't know how much sport is left after what happened in the vast planet, but Caden Helmers, the microphone is yours.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, talking takedowns is on hold, so...
He's taking himself
welcome to talking typewriters. I'll do my best Duke impression and just
please
like
don't.
Fall
we actually
in.
Like it.
Well, if you want to do that, go down next door to the tourist, have 14 shots of vodka, and then run straight up. You quit
see
your job
eyes
and then
closed
just
on the microphone.
You've seen that before.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Composure. Well,
there's Hayden. a little bit that hasn't been touched on. We'll kick it off with Nike made a massive move this week, made Colin Kaepernick the face of their new marketing campaign.
Yeah.
It's divided a lot of people. Their slogan is "Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything." And basically, that means for anyone that's not all over it, he was protesting, not standing up for the anthem, that sort of thing in NFL games. It's essentially seen him blackballed from the league.
He was a starting quarterback.
Was he protesting Trump?
This is where people are getting so wrong. Like, a lot of people think he's protesting the flag or the military, and you see all these people blowing up about it, but they are so far off the mark. It's about the mistreatment of black people in America by police.
Yep.
And that's why he's protesting, but everyone's just missed the mark completely, and they think he's disrespecting the flag and all this sort of stuff, disrespecting our veterans and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But they've just completely missed the mark. And
I heard the former WWE wrestler, Jesse Ventura, who was the governor of a state. I can't remember. Yeah, but he actually said, I'm a vet and I completely respect... This is why I went to war. This is why I fought.
So people have
free speech. He can say what he wants. Good for him. I don't agree with what he says or what he... You know,
but he, I agree with his right to say it.
100%. Yeah. And I reckon that goes a long way.
Yeah, and I think Nike, it's a gutsy move, and some peanuts have been setting their shoes on fire while they're still wearing them and all that sort of thing.
That's fantastic.
Idiots. Sending themselves to hospital. But
Hashtag Charles Darwin.
Yeah, big time.
I like it from Nike. I think it's a big call, but I think it's a good one because I'm all for what Colin Kaepernick's standing for. Like, obviously, not standing for.
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't live in America. I don't know exactly what it's like. But from people like my sister was over there and she saw it in, 3 weeks that she was over there. So it definitely is an issue and I'm all for it.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts, lads?
My opinion on this, Caden, is that I generally speaking agree with what you're saying. I think Nike's choice of word in sacrifice is the wrong one, if I'm completely honest. I've tried to, as I always do, I try to look at both sides of these political arguments, the left, the right. In America, they generally lean a lot more right traditionally than, on the scale of politics, and their opinions are quite out there. But, you know, I feel like using the word sacrifice is what gets people who are a little bit uneducated perhaps, or not interested in looking into these things as much as they need to, a bit offside. And it's easy to incite that because sacrifice is generally related to war, generally related to the military, or people that are giving up, you know, not a Nike contract. Like, who gives a crap in that context when you're comparing to someone who's gone and given their lives in Afghanistan, or especially for a country like America, which is always mongering for war and that sort of thing. So in my opinion, the fact they've used that has actually incited people to say, well, yes, that is not a sacrifice when you compare it to this. And what it's done is, sadly for Nike, Caden, is it's fed that right wing, that extreme Fox News right wing, guys like Sean Hannity coming out and just saying, how dare you? This is a disgrace to the people who defend our country. I don't disagree with anything you're saying. But what I feel like they've done is, by the way they've chosen those words, is it's just given the ammo to the
just
people.
Fueled the fire.
It's
a little
fueled
bit.
The fire way too much. I think the idea of what Nike is doing is not a bad one, but surely they must have thought about this at the time and just gone, oh mate, surely someone in their PR field goes,
you
know what?
This is why they've done it. It's one of the biggest stories in the world, and the Nike brand is front and center again because of it. Whether you agree with it or not, it's out there. And even to the point I saw with people starting to burn their shoes and their shirts and whatever, Nike put out a post on the weekend on their social media with the tips on how to burn their gear, going, if you're going to burn our gear, stand 5 feet away from the flame, don't make sure
off.
You take them off
and take them off
and all this stuff. So whoever's in their marketing department has done a top job with it. And the fact that they're
awareness wise, well, Scotty, I agree with you, Scotty, prominence and awareness wise, but in terms of their bottom line and making money, what does this do for them in terms of products?
Well, it doesn't hurt them because Chinese kids make them for 8 cents an hour and they sell them for $300 each.
Just imagine the guy in the marketing meeting. All right, guys, I got a new idea. Let's really piss people off. So they want to buy shoes and burn them.
Let's fire
people. Hey, that guy. Give that man a raise.
Reminds me of in, I don't know if you guys have seen Straight Outta Compton, the NWA movie.
Yeah.
Everyone's like stomping on the CDs and stuff, and Easy E's like, I don't give a what they do with them. They bought the motherfuckers.
I've already got the money, that's it.
But moving on from that, Hannah Mounty. It's a controversial topic, but she's pulled herself out of the AFLW draft. She said the toll it's taken on her and her family is just too much. It's probably
just the bloke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I used to play cricket with him.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, right.
And the AFL's probably pretty happy about it, Steve. What are your thoughts?
Well, can you just give me a little bit more backstory to what's the happen in terms of, you know, this was something that I felt like at the start was really promoted by her. Is that correct now?
Yeah, really, promoted
by her as something that was really wanted to do. I feel like in this day and age, if you're not aware of what that's actually going to do for you, me and Scotty have had this chat about trolls out there, social media. People are going to give it to you about this stuff. You've got to be thick-skinned. Full credit to him/her for being in the position to put yourself there. But to now pull out based on that means you didn't have a full understanding of what was going to be like in the first place. So
yeah, and I still, to this point, again, I'm happy for anyone to be anything they want to be, you know.
Yes.
Associate yourself with
stuff,
whatever,
Scotty,
you know, that's fine.
Correct.
I still don't think she should have been given the ability to play in the women's league, given the natural benefits she had prior to changing sex.
Correct.
Because
she ran with it, Scotty, at the time, and said, I don't care in the face of this, I'm going to go and do it.
And like, and if you're a girl, if you're, there are big girls playing AFL, and there are little girls.
You didn't have testosterone in your system for 20 years.
It's exactly right, Ben. And you know, I know there was the rules that were going under the testing for the Olympics, she'd be permitted to play women's sport. But again, there's not a huge amount of body contact sports in the Olympic. Yeah, there are some, but not a huge amount. I just think footy, especially something as violent as
brutal
as AFL,
in the Olympics there was as well. A similar situation in MMA a couple of years ago with a lady called Fallon Fox.
Yep,
who was a man for 25 years, then went to MMA, women's MMA, and was just flatlining chicks.
Yeah,
even like guys that do steroids, then you get off steroids. There's so many arguments that you have.
More
residual effects, like positive effects. You have more muscle mass, all of the above.
Yeah.
So let alone having been a man for 25
years.
Yeah,
I don't think it's surprising that, especially when it first started.
Is this really a thing?
How much it was going to go off, because it was just a hot topic for so long.
What do you think, Caden, though, in terms of the media perspective on it as well? I mean, what have people said about it, and what do you think about it? Noting what I said in the sense, and what Scotty just said, it was run with at the time, and there's these everlasting physiological things. Charles Darwin, Benny said it before, you can't change that. It's just how it is. There's natural hormones which provide different strength to different sexes. It's how it goes.
Yeah.
So what's been the background to it in the media?
Well, when I spoke to her, what was that, December or January, either late last year or the start of this year, she admitted that she was probably a little bit naive. She didn't expect the backlash and all that sort of thing. And so she obviously pushed really hard to get into the AFL
Absolutely.
And all that sort of thing and didn't expect the backlash that was going to come, which really is naive because what are you going to expect?
But
have you ever had a shower with him?
No, okay. Unfortunately.
Sorry.
just
curious.
Anyway.
Way to derail a topic.
Let's get too serious in here, man. Jesus.
So part of me though...
What about when you said that?
Part of me would have loved to have seen her play in the AFLW just to see how she stacked up, because she played in Canberra last year. I know a lot of the girls at the Queanbeyan Tigers, they reckon she's not that good. She wouldn't have matched it with the best players in the AFLW.
League. Yeah, okay.
Skill-wise.
Apparently, so Queanbeyan's best player played on her last year, shut her down. She barely touched the ball.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Really. So I honestly don't know that she would have matched it even if she got that far.
Hmm. Well, that's a big call to make, though. Then, if you're getting the people who are actually playing against her saying she wasn't going to make it, that almost adds to this circumstance.
Yeah, but then what happens if she flatlines a chick and everyone's going to be outraged over that?
Well, during a game, that's right. Because on top of
muscle and all that, we've got denser bones and everything.
Yeah, but if there's an incident that happens like that, that makes complete sense. And that makes it even worse, if you ask me, with the amount of push. I feel it's sad that people don't, and maybe younger people need to be educated on this a bit more, but us being generally speaking in a similar generation, we've seen the evolution of things like social media to a point where I feel like mentally we can understand them a lot better than someone who's grown up with it at 14, 15, not in touch with your emotions, and more than anything, you don't have that hard knock in your head to be able to deal with it. Because I feel like if I was 20 right now and copping some of the things that, you know, I've got being sent and stuff like that, I would have been like...
Oh, I used to get hate mail on the radio the old way in an actual unsigned letter. seriously. When
Scott,
I first started...
I'm anonymous.
I remember one in Goulburn once. Mr. Masters, I find your opinions vile and uninformed. Crawl back under the rock from whence you came. I remember that line.
Still correct.
Yeah. I set myself up for that one, didn't I?
Yeah.
But yeah, but...
Caden got excited by that. Did you send it?
He wasn't alive when I got that one. Yeah.
No, it just made me think of something. It was actually when I wrote my first story on Duke. That was before his brace fight, when he actually won the title, when he actually got to fight.
Yeah.
Mm. And I got an email from some bloke the next morning. He's like, "How dare you report on cage fighting? It's not a sport," and all this sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I was tempted to just be like, you know, piss off your dinosaur.
Was it Buzz Rothfield?
I didn't bother.
Probably going to be a future colleague. I won't say that.
And that goes back to what I was saying a second ago, though, is that you got to understand that. I feel like you look at kids the way they are these days. I mean, I'm no psychologist. Benny deals with, you know, some kids and people that are growing up. You'd see this stuff. But, you know, I feel like you've got to come from a bit of a school of hard knocks, and you've also got to understand that development in your own brain and be able to deal with this. And like you just said, Hayden, she was naive in the way that she...
Thanks, Peven.
perhaps that naivety is what's come back to bite her as well, and not understanding what's come of all.
Maybe she just didn't understand the level. Like, we can all have like a bit of a thick skin, but when you've got a whole country,
The national media,
state, it is a whole country coming down here. That's a lot. Huge burden.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
Anyway, transgender off the agenda.
That was an agenda from you there. That was good, Caden.
Mate, I want to throw this to you. You spoke about Woodley before. He's the best on the planet right now at welterweight. Where does he rank all time?
I don't know. I mean, there's GSP, and then there's light years behind everyone else. For GSP to defend as dominantly as he did.
6 year, or almost 6 year title reign.
Yeah. I mean, there's GSP, and then there's light years. There's GSP, and then there's Matt Hughes, and then there's everyone else at the moment. Tyron gets a few more wins against top guys under his belt for sure. The facts are with Darren Till, he fought a guy that, you know, he beat up Donald Cerrone, and he beat up Donald Cerrone, who fluctuates. He's a really small welterweight, and then he beat up Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, who's legit number two contender, but he also didn't make weight. So it's not through any fault of Tyron's, but he's not in the mix for the GOAT.
We didn't quite touch on it as much before, but I thought he was really impressive though yesterday, Benny.
Like no ring rust at all.
He came out there and almost looked like he was expecting, you know, a fast start from Till. Till did come on the
front. He was really slow. I don't know if he was thinking five rounds, but that was a lot slower than I expected to.
Yeah, that's right. And then from there, Tyron's just you saw that when he sort of wound up in the first 15 seconds, boom, boom. And then after that, he wasn't troubled. He was all over Till in that first round. And then in the second, like the fact that Till survived that 6 or 7 elbow barrage was impressive. But after
he'll looking like the elephant man today.
Yeah.
For sure.
He'd be in trouble. Yeah.
I think I wasn't sure if I thought that fight was going to be the ugliest fight ever if it went to the fourth or fifth round because they both cut quite a lot of weight. Mm. But Till's obviously missed weight his last fight, and there's so much speculation on whether he'd make weight. He made weight just fine, but Tyron, he looks awful every way, and his eyes are sucked out. He looked a million times worse than Darren Till at the weigh-in.
Yeah.
So if that could have gone interesting if it went a bit longer.
So in your opinion, is he comfortably number three all time now at that,
no,
at that weight?
No. There's GSP, then there's Matt Hughes.
No, I mean comfortably number three is in behind those two. Is he in that argument?
No, he's in that. That's his tier, but there's a few other names you could chuck around in there as
Guys like Penn in there as well.
Penn was only the welterweight champion one time.
Yeah.
I think. So Tyron's actually defended it a couple of times. There's other guys in the mix like Johnny Hendricks, Robbie Lawler, probably. I put Robbie Lawler above him, I'd reckon. But, mate, if he gets another win or two in there against top opposition, then he's in the mix for sure.
Beautiful.
Too soon for Till for a title shot? Or?
No, he was the right guy to put in there. If he won, it was great for the UFC, so marketable, but it's also great for the UFC that Tyron won. To have a solidified champ, as Payos and I spoke about, to have a belt changing hands every fight cheapens the value of it. To have a champion who's reigning with an iron fist, great for the UFC. But Till, mate, his total package, he wins by stoppage and he loses by stoppage. He can talk, he's funny, he's witty.
And gracious yesterday.
And a top loser as well. Like, yeah, so, good all around.
All right, a little bit of boxing before I finish up. And Sean Porter has beaten Danny Garcia for WBC welterweight title.
Awesome fight.
Via unanimous decision. So now we're in a position where we've got every belt is in someone's hands. We've got Errol Spence with the IBF, Keith Thurman, WBA super, Manny Pacquiao, WBA regular, and Terence Crawford with the WBO belt.
Yeah, even I'm confused. We need a knockout tournament.
Yeah.
Unify, man.
But I honestly think, as good as some of those names are, Crawford can clean house.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah, Errol Spence, though, he's good, though. Errol Spence is a good fighter. I reckon, you know, there's some potential super fights with him to get involved in there as well. So
I agree with that. I reckon just yesterday, that was just an awesome style matchup.
Yeah.
I just think Crawford's the slickest guy out of the bunch. Yeah, slickest guy definitely. Out of a slick bunch by a bit.
And obviously Crawford, few Australians would know him. He beat Jeff Horn for that strap back in June. And Jeff Horn is all but confirmed to face Anthony Mundine on a Friday night at Suncorp Stadium, November 30. So I still feel the same as I did after he lost to Crawford. I think this isn't the right option for him if he wants to be fighting for titles and that sort of thing.
No, he's chasing cash.
Yeah, he wants money and he doesn't want to fight forever. He wants to get out while he's still healthy and you can't obviously hold that against him. So no,
good for him, man.
Is it my understanding, Caden, that the reason they haven't completely signed on to it is that they want to have almost like a preliminary weighing before the weighing? They want to weigh the blokes in. Is it a week beforehand or four days beforehand?
The
issue is, Benny, is that they think that
much bigger.
Yes, Chock will come in way too heavy.
10 kilo advantage. Yeah, okay.
That's it. Chock will come in way too heavy, so it's all about having them at a reasonably similar weight before they actually hit the proper
weight. That's what the WBC do, I believe. I believe most of the top organisations do that.
It wouldn't be outrageous for
a boxing fight as big as this, even if it's in Australia and not in the States, to have like a week out weigh-in. Usually they have like a week out and a month out weigh-in and you have to be under X amount. So they're probably just finalising the
Yeah, there's a bit of talk at the moment. So it's going to be 71 kilo catch weight and there's a bit of talk about have to come in 75 an hour before the fight. So weighing an hour before the fight at 75.
That's right. To make sure there's not any blowouts or anything like
so
that.
So if every 100 grams that Mundine's over, he gets $20,000 fine.
Yeah, I remember Mundine tried fighting at 69 years
too
ago.
Too little.
Didn't actually make weight. Like he fought, he's a coal miner, he's covered in tattoos. He's a pretty solid Aussie journeyman. I can't remember his name. But Mundine didn't make the weight. And I think he came in about 71. That's real light for Monday, especially as you get older and you get heavier. That fight I'm referencing was about 10 years ago.
So Horn, if Horn wants to get back into the title picture, he's got to make Monday.
About 76 is
absolutely.
Oh, he's got to own him. He's got to own him.
Destroy him.
You've been working the phones as well, Caden, on this one, I hope.
A few calls here.
Fantastic.
Be able to ramp that up now that we've got nothing on for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. So. That'd be good, mate.
Excellent. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is Talking Typewriters.
Need advice? You've come to the wrong place. It's listener question time.
Okay, boys, this is a cracking listener question. I like this one. Sally has said on the email, what's your favourite non-fighting related sporting event held every year in Australia?
Mate, I read this question when I came in. I still don't know the answer. I'm just such a combat sports fan. I don't know anymore. You guys go first.
Not the soccer, mate, grand final?
Netball. He loves
for netball. For me, I'm going to base this on things that I've actually attended. So thanks, Sally. Cracking question. Mm. The three things that come to mind for me are the Boxing Day Test, the Australian Open Tennis.
Can't be fight related, mate.
And the four. Okay.
The post-Christmas test.
That's it, yeah. The Christmas after day after test. The Formula One and the Australian Open. So Australian Open I've done plenty of times in my life and really enjoy the atmosphere that surrounds that. But when I went to the Formula One in Melbourne as an annual event, I feel like we've had some great one-offs here. And obviously non-martial arts is what's been asked. Like Jeff Horn, Manny Pacquiao was one of the most unbelievable days.
No, it says best non-fighting
that's
related.
That's what I said. I know it's non-fighting related, but I'm just talking the fact that when we've brought individual big events to this country, that was one of the best days of my life. I thoroughly enjoyed that. But for me, the Formula One as an experience is just sensational. It really is a great event. It's put on well by FIA, and being there as part of the actual event is really exciting. Straight up, it was that for me, but now it's Formula One.
Nice. Caden?
For me, NRL Grand Final. I love it. I've been... I don't know, five or six times now. I love it going again this year. I'm desperate to get to an AFL grand final.
Me too, mate. Me too.
Absolutely desperate. And it'd be would have been a cracker last year for Richmond.
You call me, I'll call you, mate, if we can get some ticks.
But yeah, and I've been to Boxing Day Test, so that's right up there. But for me, NRL grand final takes the cake.
I'd say State of Origin, because they're always, especially that if
you've
it's
been,
the
Scotty,
one. Yeah, I've been to State of Origin.
It must be great. I've heard it's brilliant.
And the other one, and I'm like, I love my cars and I love my motorsport and stuff, but I don't follow the V8s religiously, but Bathurst. Seriously,
I've heard it's brilliant,
it is unreal. I never went when there was a lot of trouble up on the mountain and stuff, but I've been a couple of times now, and it is just unreal. It is just, it's just a really good event. And Bathurst, I mean, it's, you know, it's up there with the Nürburgring as far as I'm concerned, as far as iconic tracks
historic
go.
Historic
like,
iconic
every,
tracks,
every racing driver that comes out from overseas they cannot believe how insane they go. I thought, you know, the corkscrew at bloody, I can't remember the...
Monaco.
Hockenheim? No, not the corkscrew. 100%. But there's a Yank track where there's a big fall down and they go, we thought that was bad.
Oh, there's one in England like that as well.
Yeah.
Brands Hatchet.
Yeah, I can't remember. Anyway, I've totally fucked that. But
there's
that one track.
Anyway,
it'll
track.
Come to me when we go home
Daytona.
Tonight. No, it's not Daytona.
Indianapolis.
But yeah, they all come out and they just go, I cannot believe how insane the Dipper is.
I've heard that several times.
Yeah.
I've said that every year.
And I've done that in my club sport and been out there in a decent handling car. Yeah,
me too, school bus.
But only at 60 k's an hour. And even at 60 k's an hour, you come over that drop blind and you just go, Jesus Christ. And these guys are doing that at 130 going down through the gears.
Wow.
Like, it is a spectacle. And
I did
the
that
sound is unreal.
In an I-30 and I was
Betty?
Deep. I'd probably, I was going to say this before you said that, but...
Laguna Seca. That's the fucking track.
Laguna
Seca.
We went through the files. Probably, I'd love to see if it was like a State of Origin decider. That would be awesome. I'd love to do that. If it was special, like a real close series and close games.
Having awesome. Watched plenty of Origin, I can imagine the atmosphere up there in Queensland.
I just wish there was a thing where you could... somehow figure out, like get the Kiwis involved as well. Like everyone who's involved in the
tried
NRL,
that, mate. Super League 97.
Get the two teams of the best players in the NRL and just get them to smash each other. That's what the State of Origin used to be, but now you got so many awesome Kiwi players that aren't allowed to take part in it.
Imagine
a team with all the it'd be just phenomenal.
Well, I suppose you can't call the World Cup that though because it's not the
but
best.
But it's not.
Best.
No,
we're starting
not.
To see a little bit more of like Pacific tests and that
sort of thing. With Tonga and Samoa and stuff coming through.
That would be so awesome.
Yeah, Yeah. There you go, Sally.
I had a question. Great question.
Yeah?
Yeah, go on. He's,
got Hayden's got another question.
Yeah. I was watching Rocky Balboa the other day. Yeah. It got me thinking when they have that like cartoon fight with Rocky and
Mason with
the
computer
Dixon.
Game. Yeah, Mason the Lion Dixon. Yep.
Who or what is your dream fight like from any era, putting two people together or two teams in any sport or anything like that?
Thanks for that question for next week, Caden.
Think about it.
That's a good one.
Wow. Oh, Ali Tyson. Talking about,
that's what I would say.
I was thinking of. Yeah.
Like, you mean like different eras?
In their prime, throw them together.
Yeah, okay.
I reckon if that Ali Tyson, Tyson kill him, but if they had the same training, the same nutrition, and the same knowledge on boxing and all that sort of thing, then that'd be so interesting. But yeah. I reckon if you really put in like 1964 Ali versus 88 Tyson, it's a murder. But yeah,
that's a great question.
I'd pay money.
Yeah, nice.
What do you get when you cross a former radio host, two biff merchants, and the human version of Viagra? You get this. The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Ben, Steve and Duke.
Well, it's been a bumper podcast so far. Season 3, episode 20 of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, thanks to the Butcher Shop in Kayleen. And it is drawing to a close. And I don't think there's really any surprise, boys, with our uppercut. Although it's not an uppercut when Caden's here, is it? It's a stern typing to, Benny.
It is a stern typing to. Now, Payos gave her a spray before, which is normally not what happens when we talk about Payos giving a chick a spray. But we've got Caden in. He's got caps lock on.
Fair dinkum.
So, Serena, cop this.
I love that sound. Look at that. That's fantastic,
that,
isn't it?
That was venom.
There you go. There's a quality. We've given Kyrgios uppercuts and everything. Now Serena gets one too for her Muppet mate, performance.
Fanati almost deserves one too for trying to break his mate off the track.
How about that?
That's awesome. Wait till you watch it, mate. It's insane.
Yeah, crazy. But 225 k's an hour, the front brake of a bike just
I thought
briefed
next
on.
Time, if you only go like, what do you get? What was the penalty?
It's two races.
Two races.
But next time you just come up and
kick him off. Yeah. Put a broomstick through his spokes.
Buddy, it's going to be like,
how this one's going to go from here.
Like, remember the computer game Carmageddon?
No.
Oh, you just like smash each other with cars and all that. It's going to turn into that. Ratings will be through the roof.
If they turn the MotoGP into smash them up derbies.
The thing is, Moto2 and Moto3 are usually where you get your best racing in the bikes. Like, they're fantastic. They're
I have heard that as opposed to superbikes. I have heard that.
No, that's different again.
Superbikes are completely different
I've
to MotoGP.
I've heard that's much better racing.
No limit on the bikes, when it comes to superbikes. But
Troy Herfoss won the Australian Superbikes yesterday. Yes.
Yeah, something was netball, man. I don't give a shit.
Well, I think Duke is back next week from his Bali fight camp.
From his fight camp.
He did tell us here at the podcast like it was a wedding he was going for.
I thought that was just a ruse.
No, he was going for a wedding.
He didn't say wedding to me once at training.
Yeah, probably
not
a
once.
Reason
it's
for
been
that.
A full. He's going to be 84 kilos.
I was going to put it out there again. If there's anyone in the fight game listening.
Yeah, I'm in.
Just fight
Duke.
He's
not himself out.
If there's anyone out there listening that knows a heavyweight that's got some balls, our mate's looking for a fight here. He
and
really wants a fight.
Don't suggest it on the page. Ask them.
Yeah.
Because there's guys that get suggested to me all the time. They will not accept the fight. Well-known guys that always get their name mentioned when I do a post. Right. Ask them.
Guys with more experience in MMA than you?
Yeah, or within one fight or two.
Yeah.
But they all go, oh, you know, too experienced with all your other fights. Well, give me your belt then. Anyway.
Yeah. We'll get
your
fight,
mate.
Your
mum's upset. No.
We'll get your fight. Oh, now, actually, Benny, I need to just... Okay, two episodes I've forgotten about this. Your girlfriend's mum.
She just called too, geez.
Did she? Apparently, she told Benny a story. She met me once at an event and I was extremely rude to her because apparently... So right. How did it go?
Apparently, you're at a party and you were talking to someone... And she's
it's all hearsay. Yeah,
Scotty
she's
was talking to Tom Cruise, and
she's
like,
gone to,
excuse me,
to introduce herself, and you sort of just like half brushed her, and
right was it? It must talking. Have been a radio station gig or something.
I'm sure it was because she loves the other affiliate from Morning Radio 10 years ago.
Yep. That guy.
The other guy.
Yeah.
Not a fan of yours,
he whose name who shall not be spoken.
Not a fan of yours, though.
Yeah, there you go. Well, listen.
I tried saying you're a good bloke.
Mrs. Carly's mum, I apologise that if I did brush you in an event, I was obviously talking to someone at the time and just would have got to you.
It was Tom Cruise, actually.
Was it? If it was Tom Cruise, I would have been punching Tom Cruise because he played
You're not Jack Reacher.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly
you're
right.
You're picking off.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'd be doing. So I just want to apologise to your Mrs.
Do
as
mum. Do we have an apology sound?
No.
Well,
no.
Can we just pretend we do and put it
no,
in
I'll just,
now?
No, I just said sorry. Oh. That's what that's you say to someone, isn't it? So anyway.
Sound sorry with a really nice happy sound.
Oh, like a bit of a harp or something? Some angelic?
Inflection. Sorry.
All right, well, let me try and find. All right, Ben, here's your sorry sound effect. How was that?
That was beautiful.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Like on Instagram, you know, when you're like, da-na-na-na-na.
That's what you want. The Zoom thing.
That's what Benny wants.
Yeah, exactly. That's the
sound. What is it? The Instagram Zoom. That's what I played, isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
Geez,
you're good, Scotty.
Oh, dearie me. All right. Well, on that note, I'll say get a big black dog up. Yeah.
See you next Thursday.
Don't come back, Duke.
Yeah. No spraying here, enough from you, grub.
Well, that's a wrap. And let me guess what happened in this episode. Duke and Ben argued over who was Canberra's favourite fighting son. Steve pronounced some ethnic sports folks' surnames correctly. And Scotty said something about the Newcastle Knights and tried to impress Edwards with a top five. Am I right? Yeah, thought so. The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast couldn't be made possible without our wonderful, long-standing sponsor, The Butcher Shop Kayleen. Wrap your grub around one of their sausages. You'll love it. Till next time.